Attention this morning to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, and I want to read the third verse to you, where the word of the Lord says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." My helpers in Christ Jesus. My prayer has been that the Lord would add His blessings unto several messages about the great families of the Scriptures, in the Scriptures. And I pray that the messages have been a blessing to each and every one as much to you as they have been to me in looking at this particular subject. My belief is, as I spoke before I started this, that Satan's attack and one of his main points of emphasis in his attack against the people of God today is on the family, is against the family. You know, the psalmist David says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And our churches, our country, and our well-being depends a lot on the health of the family. And I pray that as we look through these families in the Scriptures, that we, as we look at not only siblings, not only father-daughter, mother-daughter, also husband and wife, that we would be brought to a place of understanding and a place of encouragement from these examples that are given unto us in Scripture of the family structure being blessed by God and having a tremendous impact on the places in which they dwell. You know, not only as we look at these families, are we brought to an understanding of how they're blessed families, and they're blessed in their family relationships. But I've tried to bring those relationships into the application of the kingdom of God, and how if you take the literal. Just for example, and I'm not going to go back and preach this, but I just feel like I need to kind of reestablish the foundations a little bit this morning. As you look at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, as you look at Moses and Aaron and Miriam and those that were literal siblings here in this world, and see how they interacted with each other and see how they were blessed in their relationship as brothers and sisters. And we can take that and apply it not only to our literal brothers and sisters, but to our church brothers and sisters. There's a reason why that the Apostle Paul referred to his brethren and sisters in the church as brothers and sisters. It's because in the overall structure of the church, that's what we are, as a family. You know, you sort of check you're supposed to anyway, kind of check you. Your last name at the door, if you will. Whenever we're here, we're brother and sister in the Lord. And if we'll take some of these examples, I believe they'll be a great benefit to us here at the family of God, at the church of the living God. Well, today I want to take a look at a husband and wife. And I beg an interest in your prayers as we look here at this particular couple that's mentioned to us here by the Apostle Paul as that he desires the Romans to greet Priscilla and Aquila, a husband and wife that the Apostle Paul calls his helpers in Christ Jesus. My helpers in Christ Jesus. You know, so often throughout the Scriptures, we see that the Lord is described to us as being our helper. You know, Psalmist David says, "My help cometh from the Lord, who hath made the heavens and the earth." My help cometh from the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul would say later, or would say in the book of Acts, towards the latter half of the book of Acts, "Having obtained the help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and to the great." He describes there and gives the credit of the help to the Lord. David gives it to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 is another example that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. We owe the credit and the thanksgiving unto the Lord for the help that we receive here in this world. But you know, so often we are thankful and look to the Lord for our help that we neglect to see that the Lord uses people very often to help us through this world as our helpers. You know, so often we say, "Well, I'm waiting on the Lord to give me my help." Whenever your help is standing right next to you in the form of a brother or a sister. You know, I don't know if a lot of you know it or not, and I don't know, and I'm repeating something secondhand, but based upon the way things were done in times past, it would not surprise me. And the man that spoke this to me, I believe him to be an honest man, but back years ago, there used to be a church in Bartow County that handled snakes. And, you know, a lot of times whenever you tell people you're Primitive Baptist, that's one of the first questions. Do y'all handle snakes? You know, and automatically we're like, no, that's not us. But a lot of people believe that when you use the term primitive, that means backwards and out of ordinary. And believe you me, anybody that would handle a snake is a little bit out of the ordinary and a little bit backward. I can tell you that, but that's not what primitive means. Primitive means original. And I've seen documentaries on Georgia Public Television about these sort of places that handle the snakes. And, you know, these people were ones that would dance around and carry on and so forth, and would and would just carry a snake around in their hands and let it dance all up and down their arms. Well, a fireman here in Bartow County told me that years ago, the particular place where they did this in this county, they had an accident, if you will. The man who was handling them was bit. He was bit by the snake. And they called the fire department, they called the emergency personnel to come and to administer aid to the person that was bitten. It was a poisonous snake. And he said while he was kneeling there next to the man, that the man spoke up and said, "I don't want you to help me. The Lord is going to heal me." And he looked at him and he said, "Don't you think that maybe the Lord may have sent me to you to heal you?" Do you see what I mean? Whenever we think about help from God, we ought to thank the Lord for the help that we receive in this world. But there are ones in this world that the Lord sends to your aid to do that very thing, to help you in the challenges that you face, to help heal you from the things that you need here in this world. And this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, were described by the Apostle Paul as being my helpers in Christ Jesus. They're ones that helped the Apostle Paul. And if the Lord will be with us this morning, I want to look at ways that Priscilla and Aquila helped the cause of Christ. You know, I don't want to just limit it to just the Apostle Paul, because I think that these two people, this married couple, had much more of an impact on others than just on Paul. I think that they helped Paul, but I think that the help that they gave Paul was much broader in scope than just Paul. I think it helped the cause of Christ as a whole. And if the Lord will be with us, I want to start in Acts chapter 18 and look at the first one this morning. If you have, you want to follow along with us, I want to go to the first example of help that we see this couple give. And there's two of them in Acts chapter 18. And the last one we'll look at will be in 1 Corinthians 16, if the Lord will be with us. The scripture says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 18 that after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Now here you have Paul departing from Athens, coming to Corinth. Here you have Priscilla and Aquila departed from Rome and have come to Corinth. They both met up in the same city. You know, there's a couple of outside observations to make before we get to the point of the help that they offered to the cause of Christ. Number one being, you know, the fact that's listed here that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. The Jews had such a dissension about them, about the uproar that the cause of Christ was bringing about. Claudius decided, based upon the historical account, Claudius had decided that he wanted no more trouble from them. So his decision was that they would be, all Jews would be therefore cast forth from Rome. And so that's the reason why Priscilla and Aquila have found themselves in Corinth. And we also see as an outside note here that I think is important, because you never know sometimes what you may be told and what folks may try to teach. But it says plainly that Paul was of the same craft as these two men. I mean, as these two, this married couple. And that he abode with them and that he wrought, which means that he worked. There's a lot of preachers that are very legalistic about whether or not a minister of the gospel should work, or whether or not he should be free and only pastor a church. And I'm not going to go off into that this morning, but because we're here, it's time to that you need to know what the Bible says about it. Because I'm not here to tell you what thus saith the brother Will says. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. Paul worked. And he was not condemned for it. He worked. Now, does that mean that one has to work? No. Does it mean that one can work? Yes. Because he did it here. He was of the same craft as Priscilla and Aquila. And the scripture says here, he worked with them. And it gave him a contact, if you will. He was able, through that interaction of somebody that he worked with, here to make a convert out of this married couple. He abode with them because they were of the same fashion. You know, I've heard cases on both sides, and I think it's wrong to make a legalistic stance on either side and say that one must work or that one can't work. I believe that that's a man's answerable unto the Lord for those things and not necessarily under what men think. But the Scripture plainly says here that Paul worked. He was a tent maker. And here he worked, and here he abode. In other words, he dwelt with this Priscilla and Aquila, who the Scripture says he went in and he came unto them. In other words, they invited him into their home. The first way that we see them being helpers in Christ Jesus is that they showed the Apostle Paul here through the example of having him into their home. Even though they were Jews, and the Apostle Paul had been a Jew by lineage, but being a follower of the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ by conversion and being struck down on the road to Damascus, here they show us that the first way that they're helpers in Christ Jesus is that they have a desire to learn. They have a desire to learn. If you want to show me somebody that wants to help the cause of Christ, one of the best ways that you can help the cause of Christ is to have a will and a desire in your heart to learn more about Jesus. You know, some of the toughest folks, if you will, to preach to, some of the toughest folks to try to lead are folks that's got everything figured out and that know everything. You know, there's sometimes that, there's sometimes you get the impression that, as you try to expound upon the Scriptures that nothing that you've got will do them any good, because they've already seen that. They've already got everything figured out. They don't want to be shown anything any different. And far be it that you may show them a different way of looking at something than they've ever seen it before, and then think that somehow you're showing them a better way. But here, these two show us that they have a desire to learn, because they invite this man. He came unto them. The Apostle Paul came into their house. Them, even though being born a Jew, here they were. They were of the same craft. And so they had the Apostle Paul in their house. Why did they have him in their house? Was it only for the purpose of tent making? I don't believe it was for that. It's because they desired the spiritual kinship of one like the Apostle Paul, who they knew could teach them some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what my will is. You know, as I migrate around a workplace and as I move in and out among people, I tend to find myself migrating more towards the spiritually minded folks and the folks that discuss filthy topics over the lunch table and so on and so forth. You know, I went out to lunch one place over the summer with several folks that I work with, and it was not the most pleasant. It's not that I stormed out of the place, you know, and kicked the doors open or anything like that, but it just wasn't anything that was much. It wasn't much pleasing to me. I felt a little bit uncomfortable. The comments to the folks that were serving the tables and comments when they left, it just kind of made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, I was in the car with them, and the same group of people a few weeks later, and they said, "We're going to go here to eat." And I said, "Y'all can just drop me by the office. I'll go get me something to eat." And you could tell it just kind of struck them, you know, why you don't like to eat there? And I didn't expound on it. I didn't feel the need to have to do that. First of all, some of them were my superiors, and I wasn't fixing to just crawl all up on them. If you want to know the truth, I just wanted to get out of the situation. I just wanted to be away from it. You know, I like to be around folks that like to discuss spiritual things. And even though you may have a worldly conversation, even if it's done in good taste, it's better to be around than things that are not. And I tell you, here you have Priscilla and Aquila. They had Paul in their house. They wanted Paul to dwell with them. They wanted Paul with them because they had a will and a desire to learn more. And I tell you, Paul showed them some things. Paul was blessed from above to be able to have an impact on these two people, to the point that whenever he departed Corinth, who went with him? Who was it that left Corinth and went with him? It was Priscilla and Aquila, because they wanted to be with Paul. They wanted to learn more from Paul. Wanted to learn more from Paul. You know, we find, you know, some may say, "Well, Brother Will, are we still in a state where we need to learn? I mean, aren't we ones that, as you know, the Apostle Paul would tell us, you know, that would tell him that he would move on away from teaching simple things unto him, like he says in Hebrews chapter 6. Does that mean that doesn't that mean that we reach a point where we don't, you know, we never reach a point where we don't learn anymore? There's not a preacher that reaches a point where he doesn't learn anymore. There's not anybody here that reaches a point where we don't learn anymore. You know, from the scripture that tells us, you know, that's often referred to as the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, you see that the Lord told him to go ye therefore into all nations and teach them and baptize them. In other words, teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he finishes that up, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I be with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What does that mean? It means teach, baptize, teach some more. That's what the purpose is whenever we gather here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, is to learn about Jesus, to learn more about Him. You know, there's whenever I call men like Elder Jack Anderson and Elder Harold Hunt and Elder Ronnie Loudermilk, it's because I need to learn things from them. You know, often I find myself, if I ever find myself doing most of the talking whenever I've called them, I know I'm in a mess. I need to sit back and learn and listen for a little while. And Priscilla and Aquila had this man in their house. And the ways that they became helpers in Christ Jesus, the first way is that they had a desire and a will to learn. You know, one of the more encouraging things that you can do in your service to the Lord is to show a will and a desire to learn spiritual things, discussing them among yourself. You know, I enjoy whenever we have dinner on the grounds. And, you know, that's one of the more beneficial things that you can accomplish when you have dinner on the grounds. It's not just so we can be like old folks, okay? It's not just so we can turn the century back 100 years. That's not the reason why we do it. The reason why we do it is so that we can have time together to learn more about the Scriptures and look at the Scriptures some more and discuss spiritual things from the Word of God. We can be helpers in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a lot of times that people, that y'all ask me things I do not know the answer to. And you know what it causes me to have to do? I have to go back and I have to spend some more time. I have to pray more. I have to call my fathers in the ministry more. I have to spend more time. If you have questions whenever you read through the Word of God, one of the more encouraging things you can do to me as your pastor is to ask me about it or send me a note about it so that we can discuss it later on. You can be a helper in Christ Jesus by doing that. And here, that's what this married couple did. The first way that they were helpers in Christ Jesus was that they had a desire to learn more about the Lord. The second way is that they weren't just ones that learned. The second way that they were helpers in Christ Jesus is that they also were teachers. They also were teachers. So they learned and they were teachers. You know, if you go over with me to verse 18, verse 18 of the same chapter, what you see is that the Apostle Paul, I believe, has had a very prosperous ministry in Corinth. You know, he had a rough go at it to start off with, and he charged those Jews that would not hear him anymore that the blood be upon their own heads, that he was clean, and that he was going to go into the Gentile. He was about to depart the place, and the Lord called him back and told him to stay there, for I have much people in this city. And so he did. He stayed there a year and a half, and the Lord blessed his ministry there. There was a church that was constituted at this place that he ministered. But the Scripture says that after he had tarried there a good while, that he took his leave of the brethren and he sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, you know, that he there is not referring to Aquila, that he is referring to Paul, and saying, you know, I don't look anything more into that other than saying he got a haircut according to the schedule of getting his hair cut. You know, but nevertheless, it says that he came to Ephesus in verse 19, and he left them there. Who did he leave in Ephesus? He left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. And it says, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. But he, when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he considered not, but he bade them farewell. Now, I continued to leave the them as we come on down through those verses, that it was Priscilla and Aquila that desired him to stay longer. They desired him to stay longer, but he considered not, and he left. And you want to know the reason why I think that he desired to stay no longer, even though they beckoned him to do it? I think it's because he knew that they had reached a point where they didn't need him as much as they once needed him. In other words, their impact as being helpers in Christ Jesus could now get to a point where they could flourish and where they could take over some responsibilities that they couldn't do before. You know, that's what it is about. That's what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you are not always as babes in Christ and feeding upon the same things. It means that you get to the point where you can be handed some responsibilities and you can take them. You know, we had a car detailing at my house yesterday. It doesn't look like it this morning. I had no idea it was going to rain today. And the trip just from the house here has already gotten mud up on the side of that thing. You know, I usually don't worry about running through it, but after you've gotten done spending 2 hours out there washing the thing and cleaning it out, it tends to cross your mind a time or two. But we had an assembly line set up. My spray hose was messed up, so I needed somebody to stay at the point where you could cut the hose on and off. I needed somebody to follow me around with the hose. I needed somebody to follow me around with the bucket. I needed somebody to help me wash as I did it. You know, there's a time now where we can form that line and where we can work diligently to do things. And there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when Daddy ain't going to be on the line. There's going to be a time whenever I can leave it and tell him, hey, I want the car washed. And you know what? I can go off and I can, even though they may beckon me to help them, I may be able to walk off from them because I've got them to a point where they can do it themselves. And you know, that's whenever folks get to the point, whenever the bird's ready to fly from the nest, one of the worst things you can do is continue to hold them back as opposed to letting them go, as opposed to letting them do, because you've taught them and they're ready to go. Well, here, this couple, the Apostle Paul says that I'm not going to stay with you. He did not consent with them. He left them there at Ephesus and he departed. Now, one of the things that we're about to read about is, I believe, a confirmation that Paul was right in his discernment about this particular couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And we see that while they were at Ephesus, if we go down to verse 24, that a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Let me read verse 25 before I stop there. It says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, when you consider the description of this man, that he was an eloquent man. In other words, he was one that he was a good public speaker. He was well spoken. I've seen sometimes where some people hold like a negative outlook on people if they are a public speaker, almost like he's not a preacher, he's just a public speaker. Well, there's nothing wrong with a preacher also being a good public speaker. There's also nothing wrong with a man that's maybe not so well spoken, maybe not a public speaker, also being blessed by God to preach the gospel. Either way, you know, what you stand in need of is the Lord upon you. And here we see that he was an eloquent man, a well spoken man. He was mighty in the scriptures. In other words, he had spent some time in the Word. And there's a reason why that the scriptures can give that description of this man. Do you think that as I believe Luke and Paul are the main authors of the book of Acts? And you know what I mean when I say authors. I'm not going to go through and have to explain that further. You know what I'm not saying, that they penned this in and of themselves. The Holy Spirit gave them the right of this word. But here they are. They're the penmen of this particular book. Do you think that they were men that had followed Apollos to this point, and that knew by following him that he was mighty, that he was a man that was mighty in the scriptures? I don't. They knew it because of the way that he spoke and the way that he quoted them. If a man is spending time in the Word, you'll be able to tell whenever that man preaches the gospel whether or not he spent the time in the Word. He doesn't need to broadcast, man, I have studied 50 hours this week and listen to what I have to say. You'll know whenever the man has spent the time in the Word, because the power that's in the Spirit of the living God will rain down upon him as he's mighty in the Scripture. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that thy profiting may appear to all, is what he told Timothy. And the same thing here with this man. There's a reason why that they knew that he was mighty in the Scriptures, because he had spent time in the Word and his preaching reflected the time that he had spent in the Word. So here we have a well-spoken man, a man that's diligent in his study of the Scriptures. He was instructed into the way of the Lord. He was a godly man. Not only was he one that was well versed in Scripture and could speak, he was one that had godly conduct. He was well instructed of the Lord. He walked well. His walk matched his talk.
And the scripture says that he was fervent in the spirit. In other words, I believe he was a good preacher. You know, it's not that I am necessarily getting down on anybody, so don't think that I am. But there are some folks that are not as well of a preacher than others. This man was a man that was fervent in the spirit. The spirit of the Lord was upon him. His preaching was well. He could preach the gospel. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. He was a man that was well instructed in the way of the Lord. He was a good preacher. He had a lot of things going for him. He had a lot of things going for him. He spake and talked according to the word of the Lord diligently in the things of the Lord. But he only knew the baptism of John. Now you think about that description of that man. You know, most of the time when you got somebody that is that well accomplished, if you will, they're beyond being able to do much for. You want to know why? Because they're making it pretty well on their own. But it shows you the spirit of Apollos. Because here the next verse tells us that there was a couple that heard him, named Priscilla and Aquila. And that when they heard him preach, what does the scripture say that they did? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You want to talk about a well-spirited man. Here's a man that's a powerful preacher. Here's a man that has studied the Word of God, but yet he still has not gotten to the point where he can't listen to people that are sitting on the pew tell him how to do something better than what he's doing. They expounded him unto the way of God more perfectly. The second way that they were helpers in Christ Jesus is that they taught this man that was eloquent in speech, that was mighty in the Scriptures, that was a well-behaved man, and they taught him better to the point where he was a great benefit to the people of God. The Scripture says, from that point forward, look at the work that this man did from that point forward. It says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, shewing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You know, he had a good ministry before that. But look at after the time that he came into contact with this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. Look at how much more of a prophet that he was to the kingdom of God. And when I say prophet, I mean P-R-O-F-I-T. Look how profitable he was to the kingdom of God, because this couple took them into him and showed him something unto the way of God more perfectly. You know, one of the things that is can often cross our minds, whenever you hear somebody say something from here or anywhere, and say, well, I believe there could have been a better way to do it. But yet, that's not my job. That's Brother Will's job. I'll let Brother Will, tell him the better way to do it. But what if Priscilla and Aquila would have done that? And just said, well, this is not my job. You know, that's not my responsibility. You know, that's a tactic that we can all come up with in our minds, can we not? It doesn't matter whether or not you're talking about unlocking the doors, whether you're talking about cleaning the bathrooms. All of us can wash our hands real quick and say, that's not something that's my responsibility. Or can we do like Priscilla and Aquila did and say, here you got a brother that can do the kingdom a lot of benefit. We're fixing to show him. He knows the baptism of John. He knows that Old Testament. He knew that there was a forerunner coming, and he preached repentance upon the coming of the baptism of John. But look at what we can show this man, that not only has the forerunner come, and not only should we repent because the Messiah is coming, the Messiah has come. In other words, he's here. He's already come. He's already died and been buried and rose again on the right hand of God. They showed him unto the way of God more perfectly. The way that they were helpers to the kingdom of God and helpers to the Apostle Paul is not only would they have a will and desire to learn, but they taught. They taught others who maybe had not reached the point of maturity that they had in the learning of the Scriptures. We're all teachers. All mamas and daddies are teachers unto their children. I'm going to tell you now, you know, I had a discussion with a deacon from Alabama whenever I was over at Rome Midway 2 months ago, last month. I had a discussion with a deacon over there because I had mentioned something during the course of my message that about something that we were reading about in our family reading time. And I didn't think anything about it. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "You know, I want to
encourage you to continue to teach your family at home. Because he said, you know, I grew up in the Primitive Baptist, and he said, you know, my wife grew up in the Missionary Baptist, and he said, you know, when we got married, he said, I had all the truth, but yet she had all the learning of the ways that they had been taught, the way that they believed, and that is that their mamas and daddies taught them at home. And he said, my mom and daddy never taught us anything at home. He said, I had the truth. He said, but yet I look back and I think about how merciful the Lord was on me, because even though we had the truth, we weren't doing the teaching at home. They weren't doing it at home. And he said, we were able to take what she had been shown in her home growing up, and that is that mamas and daddies sat down and taught the children, and we applied the truth to that. And he said, we were able to teach our family as they came up. You know, if we got a lot of children in this church, and I'll be the first to tell you, if the only learning that they have about Jesus is during the 45, 50 minutes that you're seated right here before me, it won't get it done. You're going to have to teach them at home. You're going to have to be teachers yourself. You're going to have to be, just as Priscilla and Aquila were, helpers in Christ Jesus by teaching your families at home. You're going to have to do it. Whenever people that are not familiar with the truth come to the church, if you depend only on whatever Brother Will has preached about to be able to ingrain, it doesn't mean that it won't accomplish some things that you can't teach through the gospel. It may take some more teaching. It may take throwing your arm around them, just as Priscilla and Aquila did this dear brother, and expounding unto them the way of God more perfectly so that they understand. You know, I'll try to do my best to teach anybody. As the Apostle Paul would say that, you know, to the Jew he became as a Jew, and to the Gentile a Gentile, and so on and so forth. He became whatever he needed to be, and I'll try to do my best, but it doesn't mean that I can get it done in and of myself during the time that we have. We all have that responsibility. And this married couple took it upon themselves not only to have a will and desire to be learners, but they had a desire and a will to teach. And the Apostle Paul tells us here through his pen that these two people brought this man into their home and showed him unto the way of God more perfectly. And he was one that was publicly able to show with the scriptures that Jesus was indeed the Christ. Now, if I had time, and I think I've done that here before, we could plainly show that that you know, this man had had Apollos had you know, I believe according to Acts chapter 19, had baptized some folks at Ephesus. And you know, if we'll remember, the Apostle Paul came through and he questioned them if they had received the Holy Ghost since they had been baptized. And they had not so much as even heard of the Holy Ghost. And then they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by the Apostle Paul. See, Apollos, his baptism was scriptural because it was from John. But John did not have authority to make baptizers. And so ones that Apollos had baptized had to then be baptized by somebody who had been given proper authority to be able to do so. But he was still an eloquent man. He was still a man that was well blessed of the Lord. And that through his contact here with Priscilla and Aquila was blessed to do mighty things in the kingdom of God. Last one, we have that they had a will and a desire to learn, that they also were teachers. If we're looking at the context of being helpers in Christ Jesus, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let's look at another way that they were helpers in Christ Jesus. 19, Paul says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord." Now you can imagine the connection that Priscilla and Aquila had here with the church at Corinth. This was their home base, if you will, from where they too were blessed to be able to be a part of the church. It's hard for those that have always been a part of the same quote-unquote church your whole life, it's hard to fathom the connection that you may have, that others may have with another place. But a place where you're blessed to come exposed into the true church for the first time will always hold a, dear spot in the hearts of the people who had an experience there. Well, here you've got Aquila and Priscilla saluting them much in the Lord, along with the church that is in their house. The church that is in their house. You know, we've got... I'm coaching Billy's basketball team this year, and in the county that we live in, the places where we can practice are very limited. And some people have connections that I don't have, and they can just swallow up courts. And old Brother Will can't get a place to practice. So starting tomorrow, I'm done trying to beat everybody else to the punch and get a court. They're coming to my house. We've got 8 kids on the team. I've seen all the parents. I'm not afraid of you know, a lot of times I knew what my daddy was thinking when I told him, is you don't know who these folks are if you have over to your house. Well, they ain't going in the house, but they're coming to the house. And they're going to bring their children over there for basketball practice. We've got some arrangements that have to be made. We've got to prepare for weather. We're going to have to get one of those gas heaters that I can plug in up under my carport so that parents that bring their children will have a place to sit and sit next to somewhere warm. We've got to make sure that the lights are okay for the kids to be able to see, because if not, one of them get hit in the face with the ball and they get hurt there on my place. And you can imagine this day and time, somebody would love to go on with something there. But you see what I'm getting at. We've got to make sure that we've got water for the children there, because they're going to be thirsty. Preparations have to be made in order to be able to have something at your house. You know, for a year, a little more than a year, we didn't have a church house to meet in. We bounced around for a little while, then we were blessed to be able to go to Brother Lloyd and Sister Angie's workshop and be able to have church there. And I don't know about the rest of you, but those are precious memories to me. We had, I think, a lot of good meetings there. We had folks join the church there. We had baptizings in the swimming pool there. We had my kids, so always, it doesn't matter, Brother Lloyd, when we come over swimming with y'all, they always going to look up there and remember that's where we went to church. We didn't have church but one time at that hotel in Cartersville, and every time we go by that hotel, my kids look over there and say we went to church there one time. So you can imagine what their memories are of going to a certain place. But you see where I'm getting at. Here, they were helpers in Christ Jesus because they devoted their house to worship. You know, we can devote our homes to basketball all we want to. You can devote them to having family fellowship, and that's good. And I want to encourage any and everybody that can have that and have your family over and so on and so forth, that for those sort of functions. But it's another thing that when you don't have a church house, that you're willing to do like what Priscilla and Aquila did here, and say that the worship of the Lord is what we're going to center our whole home around. And the church is in our house. Come worship with us in our house. You know, I'm not fixing to ask the question, would you be willing to do it? Because I think that we have a lot of folks that be willing to step forward in such a manner and be able to make the provisions necessary. But you think about here, the way that this married couple were helpers in Christ Jesus, is they love to learn. They loved the truth enough to teach it to others who weren't blessed to understand it fully. And they loved it enough that they would do as that great woman of Shunem did, and that they would join their house unto the house of the Lord. That they would be willing to dedicate their place of dwelling. You know, a dwelling place is a special spot to a lot of us. You know, my home probably, it doesn't mean... you know, Brother Chase, whenever you come visit with me, I'm not saying you don't like my house, but I know it doesn't mean to you what it means to me, and vice versa. But my home, it means something to me. It's a special place for me and my family to be able to be together. And you know, to know that you would sacrifice what would have to be sacrificed in order to accomplish it, to be able to achieve the necessary worship for those that needed it. You know, they knew that others needed worship. We all need worship. We can get along only so long with fellowship. We can only get along so long with other manners. We need worship. You know, I heard a sermon one time where a man preached on the purposes of the church, and he went through and expounded on a lot of things that are very, very beneficial. And he preached on the need to help the way he termed it, the less fortunate. I try not to use that terminology, because that, you know, fortune has a lot to do with luck. But nevertheless, he preached on a lot of things that we need to do, and lastly he touched on worship, and it was very brief. And I thought to myself, you know, that's the most important function of the church, is to worship. That means to praise, honor, and glorify our Lord God above, to worship Him. You know, when you worship something, that means you fall at the feet of it. That means you reverence it. That means that you're willing to recognize your dependence upon it. And that's what the church is about. It's about worship of the Lord, one of the main functions of it. And that's what we see that this couple did, Priscilla and Aquila. They had a church in their house. You know, it wasn't something that was that odd during that day and time. We know that Archippus, according to the book of Philemon, had a church in his house. And that's the way that they had to meet. We know that if you look back through the history of even in this country, the church in this country, folks met in houses, folks met in the church was also the local schoolhouse, and so on and so forth. But here we see a couple that, as the Apostle Paul describes them, they're helpers in Christ Jesus. And as we look and see the things that they did to be described as being helpers, I think that we can see that as we depend upon help from the Lord, that these two were indeed from the Lord. And that if we're able to also set up our homes, set up our marriages in the way that these were, I believe we'll be well blessed of the Lord, and be a help unto all those that are around us. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. And I looked upon His face.